Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, we're going to be speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Ben Swan. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. He writes for the Santa Fe New Mexican and other publications on animal welfare issues. And he is here now to talk about animals. It's our new Animal Friday person since our beloved Bill Hutchison has abandoned us and gone to San Francisco. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for inviting me. And our Bill Hutchison is still very much with us.
I know he's very much with us, but his body has moved to California, which means he can't really come into the Santa Fe Baking Company quite so easily. And it's great to have you because you are somebody who's been writing about animals for a long time. How did you start?
For a long time. Well, when I got to thinking about animals, you know, animals have always been a part of my life. And so,
did you have a dog when you were little?
I had a dog. I had one of my earliest stories is about how. I used to hide in with the dogs in wherever they were, and they'd always know where I was if they'd look for the dogs. And at any rate, since animals have always been a part of my life, I've always written about animals in some capacity. Even as a child, I think one of my first poems was something like, "Growl went the rabid dog, foaming at the mouth. Bang went the shotgun that shot him way down south." It's just kind of
my goodness.
And you thought you could do only limericks, right?
There are limericks, and they're very bad.
So as a journalist, as I became a writer and became a journalist, I found out very quickly that you could do animal stories, and you could almost always make the front page.
Isn't that funny? I mean, this is what I moved here 20 years ago, and the last place I lived before Santa Fe was Boston, Massachusetts, and moving here, the number of animal stories on the front page was breathtaking.
But it's not just here, it's everywhere. I mean, there's always got to be heartbreaking news, but everybody wants a little bit of a break. And what better kind of a story than an animal story, especially if it's warm and fuzzy, cuddly kind of a thing, which is the kind of things I like to do.
What are some of the favorite animal stories that you've written?
That's really hard to say. But I do remember I lived in Southern Oregon for a while, and I wrote a very small newspaper there, and I wrote a story about how a possum had broken into a house and was licking milk out of a baby's mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened was the person got very upset, of course, and threw the possum outside of the house. And people got upset because he injured the possum.
Right. They weren't worried about the welfare of the infant.
Not so. Well, I don't know. I'm sure they were. But the way I'd written it, they thought I was very, it wasn't very tasteful, the way I'd written about how the possum was injured. And I got a lot of letters about that. It varies, you know.
Well, how about that? What was it? Was it a mountain lion who broke into the jewelry store?
Yeah, I didn't do that one, but
that was a classic, a lot of funny Santa Fe story.
Yeah. And there are plenty of those, yeah.
So you have done, among other things, dog dancing classes with your dog.
Yeah, and that's how I started writing for the New Mexican about animal issues, or about animal stories. This copy editor, we had a Sunday magazine in the New Mexican, and it was edited by Christy Jones, and she'd happened to see this advertisement for ballroom dancing with your dog, and she knew I had a dog, several dogs, and so she asked me if I'd be interested in just taking the class and writing about it. And I thought it was going to be kind of a funny story about how, you know, I'm not very coordinated. I can't really dance. I like to dance, but I can't really dance. So I figured my dog wouldn't be able to dance either. But this is the secret is that once he heard disco for the first time, he would not stop dancing.
When you say dancing, I'm doing air quotes right now. What's the nature of dog dancing?
It's actually canine freestyle, and it's a whole sport that really started about 5 years ago. There was a video that went viral, and with this woman dancing with her. Essentially, it's just music, and you sort of freestyle. They do circles around you. It's a lot of healing and a lot of going through your legs and things like that. And they can jump on their hind legs and dance a bit, but not much, because that's not really their natural thing to do.
So it's basically kind of obedience training at a complicated choreographic level.
Well, I wouldn't call it obedience training because that's more like sit, stay. But essentially,
well, sit, stay, go in a circle through my legs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a little turn.
The terminology is a little different, but it's definitely just a lot of fun because you can dance, you have the music on, and your dog's with you. So we actually have a disco routine that we do now since I've done it. I've done it about 2 years, maybe three. They created a Santa Fe dog dancing club, and we meet on Saturdays.
And do you think the dogs like the music, per se?
I think they like being with the person that they're with, you know. Love the one you're with, right?
Right. Dogs, they love us. What about when you've got a group of people dancing with dogs? How do the dogs get along with each other? Do they get distracted from the dancing and the choreography and so on by the fact that there's a bunch of other dogs in the room?
Sometimes, but they're really focused on their owner, and that's how it is. Like, we have this saying that says, cookie is always out there. So if they think there's a treat in some way, they're always going to be focused on you. And so they're not going to be focused. And that's one of the techniques. That's why dancing with your dog is so much, it's really valuable in dog training, because it really focuses on attention to you. And the, you know, once you've got some basic things down, you can do anything you want. You can do the choreography and start dancing anyway.
So here we are, and I'm so glad that you're here and going to be talking about dogs. And there's one issue. When I say dogs, I mean animals. But I'm a little bit dog focused. But anyway, we're going to be talking about animals together. You're a dog person too, huh?
Well, I don't like to say that, but most of my readers do criticize me because I do tend to write a bit too much about dogs.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one in my family that's ever had cats, although I don't have a cat right now. But
well, the point is, so here we are. We're going to be talking on a regular basis, probably once a month. We tried when Bill Hutchison was here to do the first Friday of every month, but then it became the second and the third, and then it became pretty much random. But we're going to do about one animal segment per month here with Ben Swan, if he's willing to stick with the radio. And there are some really important issues that come up, and one of them we've talked about before, but there's been a case quite recently involving dog hoarders, animal hoarding. What is animal hoarding?
Well, I think most people, there's varying degrees of hoarding, and most psychologists or most people feel that there's two basic kinds of hoarders. There's the obsessive compulsive disorder that's one aspect of hoarding. And the other is where you kind of have a detachment disorder. And those are the worst kind of hoarding cases, in which the people can't really emotionally, they don't really understand suffering of the animals. Those are the cases where you go in and there's 30 animals everywhere, and there might be a carcass here, or they just don't realize.
So the first kind, the obsessive compulsive, is like, oh, there's another pit bull.
I gotta have that.
Yeah. Or look, there's another one. Right. I gotta have that. But the person might actually do their best to treat them okay.
Right, and they might, and sometimes they get overwhelmed. I mean, a lot of people start out really with good intentions, and they just all of a sudden they want to save as many animals as possible.
Yeah.
But you can really, you have to just watch yourself, because you can't. I mean, if you overburden yourself, you end up hurting the animals.
I would think that's one of the first tough lessons that you have to work when you're in animal welfare, which is the reality that you can't save every animal that you want to save.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a problem. And I should also mention the other aspect. It's not a hoarding thing, but one big problem that we have is those puppy mills.
Oh yeah.
Which can become a hoarding situation. Like, we talked a little bit earlier about a case in Arizona, in Yuma, Arizona, about the dachshunds.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the...
What, tell us about that.
Well, it's still under investigation, so they haven't charged the person with it, but the woman has... Essentially, she's a breeder, and the woman has relinquished some animals. There was actually 107 dachshunds, all kinds of beautiful dachshunds, like...
In a house?
In a kennel situation. But a lot of them, they're just for breeding purposes. And one of our partner shelters in Arizona, which we transfer animals to and from, and really reached out to us. And according to Mary Martin, our executive director, you know, up until now, we've been really, really full in the shelter with animals. But we were able to take in five of these dachshunds that were in this hoarding slash breeding situation. And so a lot of animals were have heartworm, dental issues because of bad nutrition, and really not a lot of exercise. So we had five in, and one has already been adopted, as far as I know, and the other two are being treated.
Now, there are, for example, at the Kindred Spirits Animal mm-hmm. Sanctuary, there are some wonderful little dachshunds there, and one of them I remember was from a puppy mill, and right. she was so overused mm-hmm. as a breeding dog that and so malnourished that the calcium had been leached out of her
right.
bones, and she couldn't walk really, and so they had to kind of move her around, and she was the sweetest dog, but talk about abused dogs.
Very sweet dog. I've met that dog and took photos of that dog, and Sherry Garver did some chiropractor on her to really help relieve her pain, and that's what Ula does at Kindred Spirits, really tries to find holistic ways to try to bring the animals up to the best health that they can.
So basically somebody was found with a puppy mill, possible hoarding situation mm-hmm. with lots of dachshunds, mm-hmm. one of whom who was, I hear, adopted in Santa Fe.
Right. One of our board of directors just fell in love with this, I think it's a wire hair dachshund, and was a really sweet guy. I mean, the dogs, you know, they've been mistreated in a sense that really neglected health-wise, but they have very good dispositions. And Mary Martin brought the dog into the shop where I work at, and Jan happened to be there, and she just fell in love with it and has since adopted it, I believe.
So when you come across a situation like that, to what extent are the laws on the side of animal welfare? Are there laws that protect animals?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, in a situation like that?
Well, it's very, you know, it's very difficult to really, prosecute these things, because really the law tries to work with the people who are in this situation. Obviously, if it's a situation where any life is in danger, they'll go in and take the dogs. But it's very difficult to follow through on some of these things, just because everything has to be, very properly in order sometimes
you have
it's
to
not
follow process.
Exactly. And sometimes it just takes a long time. And yeah. and law enforcement, they're stretched to the limit, and they don't have a lot of resources to spend on these. These can take months for them to be really effective and to hold up in court.
We're talking to Ben Swan, who is our new Animal Friday dude. It's great. It's so great to have you. So you, like Bill Hutcherson, are able to tell us about some of the doggies and kitties that are up for adoption at the animal shelter, the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. Of course, just to say, and we'll be talking about this as well as the months go by, there's doggies and kitties and bunnies and all kinds of animals up for adoption all over the place.
All over the place, yes.
But the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, which is one of your employers, has a bunch of animals.
Right. A lot of people go to the shelter and they're just overwhelmed because there's so many wonderful animals there. But we always try to find a couple that need some special attention just because they're such sweet animals. I can tell you about Laddie. He's a Chinese Shar Pei mix. He's about a year old, and I am partial to Shar Pei mixes. In fact, I think most people realize if they say they have a Shar Pei mix, then I probably will foster it or take it in.
Now, Shar Peis, those are those crazy animals that are born with all their skin and they grow into it?
More or less. They're very wrinkled dogs.
They're wrinkled as puppies, yeah. And then they grow into their skin as
some
adults.
Some of the dogs lose some of the wrinkles, but a lot of the purebred Shar Pei have these really deep folds. And most of my dog, for example, Beta, who was a Shar Pei Dalmatian mix, she was just looked like a little lion when she was a puppy, but she kind of grew into like a caricature of a dog. Most people would say, because of her tail and her funny little face, but I loved her very much.
Close your ears, doggy, if you're listening. A caricature, indeed.
She was, true. Anyway, about Laddie is, according to our web notes, he's a bit shy when he first meets people, but he's looking for a loving, patient, and kind owner. And manners classes will help him gain confidence. Once he has the trust, she'll be a very sweet and affectionate girl. She loves to romp and
her
play.
Her name is Laddie?
Yeah.
And she's a girl.
I know, that's why I got a little bit mixed up.
Right, so. Right. I have to say, I've had a number of people. I've never adopted an animal from the animal shelter because animals just sort of show up in my life. But
tell that to my mom.
It's just karmic or whatever. But there are a lot of people I know who've gotten animals from the animal shelter. And for the first few weeks, month or two, they're kind of businesslike. You know, they don't really connect with you. And there was one dog, we used to call it the business dog, because it would say hello and then move away. And the affection that then grows up when they get to know you and when they get to know the people around them, and then they just become these loving, affectionate dogs. So a shy dog like that, you don't even know what's inside.
No, you don't really. And I think, I don't know if it's business, but I think that the first couple of weeks or months that any dog is sort of on best behavior because they don't really know the situation, and so they're just like, oh, what can I get away with? Well, they don't want to say that until a little bit later. But, and as for shelter dogs, all my dogs are from various places. Like Zach, my boy, is from an Oregon shelter. Sister is from the Las Vegas shelter. Jimmy is from the Clovis shelter. And Olivia, my new Chihuahua, is from the Santa Fe animal shelter.
Wow.
So kind of a mixture.
Any other animals you want to let us know about?
Oh, sure. I forgot about Rodeo, our cat. So it's Origin White, 6 years old. He's a beautiful boy, very loving and affectionate, a definite snuggler. He also head bumps and licks when seeking attention. he's been a surrogate.
A scratchy tongue.
Yeah, exactly. He's been a surrogate parent to kittens and gets along well with almost every other cat he meets. So he's looking for a forever home. So
excellent. Now, wasn't there a cat called Audrey?
No, that was Audrey was the dog I was telling you
about.
I mean,
a dog called Audrey.
Sure. That's an interesting story. That's a pit bull who was found pregnant and was in labor for 3 days. And it was a breech pregnancy. And luckily, after a certain amount of time, somebody told the animal control officer, and they picked her up and brought her into the shelter veterinarian, Nan Hack, who immediately had to do a cesarean on to save her life. Unfortunately, the 6 puppies were dead.
The puppies died, but mother, mama dog lived.
Yes.
Now, is that dog up for adoption?
I wrote this about mama, that's what Nan calls her, about 2 weeks ago, but I haven't actually followed through because I never really double-checked to make sure, because you never know, even if they do get adopted, you know, you want to make sure it sticks.
So, right, right.
So I haven't actually heard, I believe she is. Last I heard, she was still up for adoption. She's a very sweet dog.
Now, Halloween is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some events around Halloween, doggy-wise, or animal-wise.
There are a lot. I mean, everybody loves to dress up their pets. I don't know why.
Have you seen some of those crazy emails with over-the-top Halloween pet costumes?
Oh, yeah. Or I like the
ones... The dachshund as an actual sausage with a bun, or a hot dog with a bun.
Well, and how about dyeing the dog's hair and stuff like that? It's a very, very, very popular thing in China, I believe. But, yeah, I kind of go for the very simple, bizarre collar kind of thing, or anything that doesn't really, you know, get in the way of a dog's mobility or something like that. So
I once put a Dalmatian kind of sweater on my terrier, Honey. She's a white sweater with black spots. And I put it on her on Halloween so that she could dress up as a Dalmatian. And then I ended up going to a Halloween party, and I came back, and the sweater was, not only was it off her body, it was completely gone. It was never found again. And we think either she ate it, or she flushed it down the toilet,
or she buried it.
But she was, her attitude was, I am not a Dalmatian.
Yeah. Or, you know, some dogs just don't like that at all. They just don't like any kind of anything on them. I sense that they get really embarrassed about certain things.
Right. You know? This is not how I really look. But you've got some things going. Well, okay, there's clothing that they may or may not want to wear. But there's also some events going on at the store. You also work at the... what's it called?
Look What the Cat Dragged In.
That's
it's
right.
The Santa Fe Animal Shelter resale store. It's a fun place.
It's a resale store. I got a great little dress there for about $5 this summer.
Exactly. There's some great deals and lots of fun things and treasures and people. We have a good time. People shop for hours.
And it's down near Outback Steakhouse?
Exactly. Well, we have the wellness clinic right next door to that. It's the low-cost spay and neuter clinic. Right. And we share the building with them. And
it's a low-cost spay and neuter clinic where you can also get heartworm tests and you can get rabies shots and you can get your dog licenses and
right.
tags and all kinds of good things.
Today, for example, it's a vaccination clinic, so people can just do a walk-in and get really inexpensive, really important vaccinations and things like that.
And microchips also you can get there.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place.
And glad that you brought that up. There's going to be a big microchip in clinic on Saturday, tomorrow, at the dog park, at the off-leash dog park, the Frank Ortiz off-leash dog park, in connection with the massive cleanup they have called
right.
the Big Scoop, which I love.
The Big Scoop.
Yeah.
And that's this weekend?
That's this weekend. It's from 9 to 1 p.m. And
on Saturday?
On Saturday, yeah. And I don't know if you've been to the off-leash dog park. It's a beautiful
I go all the time.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot. But people tend to not clean up as often as they should. And so it kind of, has an
There's dog
unpleasant
poop in the
smell.
Dog park.
Exactly.
I've never noticed that it smells.
That in the summer, sometimes, yeah. It's sort of a, well, it could be the, as a landfill.
The fact that it's on a landfill?
That could be part of it. But anyway, people have really, in the last few years since I've been going there, really made a conscientious effort to keep it clean. And twice a year they have a pretty big cleanup. And it's a week-long thing, and it's also sponsored by the Friends of the Dog Park, Department of Parks and Recreation, and Keep Santa Fe Beautiful. And they really do a good job in giving out these big trash cans for people to clean up. And so they have a week-long cleanup, but Saturday is the big event.
And there's also a microchip.
Yeah, they'll be having a low-cost microchip clinic and dog adoptions, of course, from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter.
Very nice. I got my dogs microchipped, when was it, maybe a year or two ago. And I have to say, I feel more secure because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know that they do.
They don't know. But it's I like the microchipping, and it's really important to register the chip so, they can follow it through. And in a few weeks, we'll be able to tell you about a new program that is combining all the three or four different groups companies that do the microchipping
right.
to a central database.
Excellent.
So if your dog or cat gets lost, you'll be able to just one-shot stop.
Yeah, you don't have to look for every company that provides microchips.
Exactly. Or you might have forgotten or moved. If you haven't moved and updated your address, then what good is the microchip?
Now, there is a pet food drive.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the Halloween events. So at our store and at the shelter, we're doing a Day of the Dead tribute. A week-long thing starting Tuesday where people can bring in photos of their pets, the departed pets, or just in a way of honoring them and with candles or flowers. And we also hope to draw some pet food donations and maybe donations to help homeless animals. So it'll be a week-long thing where we have this altar that people can pay their respects to and help the homeless animals.
And so people are encouraged to bring in bags of kibbles and cans of dog food and cat food,
and
things like that.
And along with their photos and flowers and anything else they want to do as a tribute. And so that is the week-long thing we'll be doing at the resale store. It's at 2570 Camino Entrada, and also at the animal shelter itself. And Zoe and Guido's Pet Boutique will also be doing sort of in connection with that with us. And then on that Friday, next Friday, October 29th, we'll be doing sort of a pumpkins and pets party from 4 to 6 at the store. So it'll be kind of a fun time where people can bring in their animals and dress them up, and we'll have a contest. And we'll also have Traveling Jack, who is running for governor. I don't know if you know anything about
Traveling Jack.
Traveling Jack, yeah, he's running for governor. He has a four-paw platform of drawing attention to homeless animals. And also...
He might be the best candidate.
He might be. He's a beautiful English bulldog. He's a very sweet dog. And he'll be there with his partner, Jill.
Jack and Jill.
Jack. Oh, I never even thought of that. Yeah. And that'll be... we'll also have a raffle of some kind. Like, I guess she has the pumpkin... of Jack's likeness, and so for a dollar you can have a chance at this pumpkin. And really just to draw attention to how many great animals are at the animal shelter, that you don't have to go to a breeder or go
And it's a good time of year to adopt an animal.
It's always a good time of year.
That's true. It's always a good time. But I mean, if vacation season
is
over. Nobody's going anywhere. You've got the next few months before Christmas to train and socialize and be calm with the animal. The school year is on.
it's darker, so you can spend more time at
home.
There's more snuggle time. Yeah. We all love to have our animals with us snuggling.
Some do, some don't. I've noticed in my life. Ben Swan is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, who can be found on the web, and he writes for the Santa Fe New Mexican and all sorts of other publications on animal welfare issues. You can find him on the web, too. Thank you so much for being with us and for initiating our new Friday animal segment.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break right now, and Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt are with us. It's Babapalooza. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt. They are with the Santa Fe New Mexican and the Plaza Tiempo, which is the Friday Arts Magazine, in that fine paper, and they are here every Friday, one or the other or both, is here every Friday speaking of the arts. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Babapalooza.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Babapalooza number, gosh, I don't know. We have so many of them.
And Robert Knott is decked out with his mustache.
Oh, I know. It's winter. Or it's fall. It's getting cold.
We're slowly segueing you in to see if you have what it takes. We'll decide later today.
And yes, Robert Knott is keeping the icy frost off of that upper lip.
All right, all right. I promised I would keep it until November 2nd.
Why did you promise?
Why?
Because the lady at the butcher shop at Connie's, who never paid much attention to me, suddenly thought with the mustache I was interesting. So we had a discussion, and I said, I'm going to take votes on it this time for sure, for the winner, and I would wait until Election Day, because that's a good day to vote. Incidentally, everybody should, it's too late to register now, isn't it?
Yes, it's too late to register.
But please get out there and vote.
It's not too early to vote. No. Early voting
is happening.
I'm voting
right after I leave here.
Yeah, I think I might vote today, too.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to vote on Election Day. I want to see who's in line.
Early voting polls are open until 8 o'clock, by the way.
Where?
Over there on Palace and Grant, that building over there, sort of kitty corner to Coy.
The county clerk's office. Right, so you can go in there and vote.
Uh-huh.
And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, to exercise your democratic, hard-earned right to vote.
You got it.
We women have only been voting for, what, 90 years?
It's going on 100, almost.
I think it's going on 90. And or it is 90. Was it 1920?
Yeah, you're right, because 1912, when we became a state. Oh, you're talking about nationally, or yeah, okay.
I'm talking about voting.
You got it.
Yeah. No.
I missed the gubernatorial death match on TV last night.
I didn't see that either.
But
yeah,
Steve Terrell has a nice piece in the front page of the New Mexican, and I have, speaking of the arts, a nice piece in the front page of the New Mexican.
That was a nice segue.
Yeah, the local production of Bless Me Ultima, and it's a nice little piece, I think. Take a look, see, and you'll also see Steve's piece on the governor's debate. And before we jump into Paso Tiempo, look in the local news for a piece I did on this great little group of kids over at Chaparral Elementary School who wrote letters to women in Afghanistan, and it's just a really good story. But first, let's talk about the arts. What's going on in Paso?
All kinds of stuff is happening. It's we're getting close to Halloween, so there's sort of many festive things going on. But let's just start with the 12th annual celebration of the book, which I think starts today at 10 a.m. over there at the Meme Community Room and Museum Classroom over at the New Mexico History Museum. More than 40 New Mexico book artists works and workshops and all sorts of good stuff. And that's going on until 4 o'clock this afternoon. It continues through Sunday, the 24th. You can get more information by calling 989-7577, and it's by museum admission, so that's a 3-day event. That's awesome. Gosh, what else is going on? I was asking Robert Knott a second ago about this Las Golondrinas movie tours. I didn't realize that there were like movies shot out there, or parts of movies shot
mostly
out
westerns
there.
Had scenes shot out there from Butch and Sundance, the early years, to Young Guns, to television westerns, not just westerns, but mostly westerns. They are giving tours at, 10:30 and
10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m.
And you pay, and they'll take you around. And I love that Living History Museum. It's basically closed now for the season. This is probably the last event they're having. It's interesting. I asked them maybe why don't they didn't have a Halloween event, and they think about that for next year.
It's so weather dependent.
That's true, because it's so weird now.
And it gets crazy. It usually snows around Halloween.
Sometimes.
And it's hard to get people out out there.
Of course, it's the weekend of two film festivals. The Independent Film Festival, which started on Tuesday night, continues through Sunday at various locales. They have about 60 short movies, 15 features, workshops. They're going to have some coffee house discussions around the art of business and film over at the Aztec. And you can check out their website, SantaFeIndependentFilmFestival.com. Also, the Santa Fe Film Festival, which we all know and love, is going through a change this year. It's contracting, so to speak, focusing on a lot of foreign pictures, a couple of big names like The Four Times and The Princess of Montpensier. Most of their screenings are at CCA, except for a revival of the interesting, much better than I remembered it being, 1970 dark comedy Catch-22, Mike Nichols' version. And I wrote a big
great
piece on that
about it
today. Thanks. And I talked to many of the people involved. And that's going to screen to the Lensic Sunday at 2:45, followed by a panel talk with Alan Arkin, who played Yossarian, and Richard Benjamin and Paula Prentice. Paula Prentice, a really sweet lady, is very proud to talk about her nude scene in the movie, which I think is a good reason to go see it. Jonathan Richards, a freelance, movie reviewer for PASA, he'll be moderating the event. And it's at 4:45 Sunday at the Lensic, following the movie at 2:45. So film festivals, check them out. Santa Fe Film Festival, Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. My guess is if you Google those names, you'll get the websites.
Yeah, I was going to work today, but I think I'm gonna check out early and go poke around at the film festivals.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, we had a bunch of their films on the air, and all their screenings are at Warehouse 21.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And they're very inexpensive, and I saw some great ones.
We saw a bunch in previews, too. The Norman Mailer doc, which only played once, was terrific. It's already gone, though.
There's one called Do No Harm, which screened on Wednesday, which is about a kind of whistleblower story about nonprofit hospitals.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And one in particular in Georgia. You know, I don't know whether that's yet available on Netflix or in other ways, but if anybody can just get their hands on that film as a DVD and screen it, it's such an important and interesting film.
Good. And just real quickly, since we're in movies, opening this weekend is Hereafter, Clint Eastwood's picture about the other side of life, and Jonathan Richards gave it an opening day review. Jonathan also saw the Woody Allen movie, You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger, which is at DeVargas, Regal DeVargas. Hereafter's also at DeVargas, and he wrote a review for that.
As opposed to You Will Meet a Short, Light Friend.
As opposed to.
Four of New Mexico's top art historians, curators, and educators present an exciting series that celebrates women's achievements in art and dance. The series is called More Than Mary Cassatt at the CCA, and Diane Armitage. That was yesterday. Never mind. Sorry.
Yesterday, when I was young.
Hey, do you remember the band?
I do that sometimes.
Do you remember the band, the Del Fuegos? Do you remember them?
The name sounds familiar. What did they do?
You know, they were just sort of
what
like
was their
one of those
big
sort of
one-hit wonder.
You know, I'm not sure how big of a hit it was, and I can't remember even the name of it. But the guy who used to play in that band, you can see like a lot of their videos from the '80s on YouTube and whatnot. But Dan Zanes, who used to sing for the band, he and his friends they play this sort of child-oriented Americana folk pop music now. And they're really popular. They've been like on the Disney channels and all that. They're playing at the Lensic on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And you know, this is the answer to Barney and Elmo. Like, if you have a CD that your kid makes you listen to or wants to listen to like 500 times, and you're just sick of it, and you want to break it and lie to your kid and tell him it's just
the
lost,
dog ate it,
right? Go see Dan Zanes and Friends. This guy will cure you of all those ills. Trust me.
Why? I don't get it. What's the connection?
Well, the connection is that he's he has a variety in his music, and he's actually a musician, and his band are actually musicians. It's not like, you know, it's not like a play school piano in the background
right.
with people doing sing-alongs over it. Although he does do sing-alongs. That's 6:30 p.m. Thursday. You can go to ticketsantafe.org. And figure out the ticket situation for yourself.
Now, is it really true that former gallery owner and artist Forrest Fenn had an alligator?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Uh huh.
He kept it in a pond on the.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't call it. I don't know if I would call it a pond.
What would you call it?
Kind of a dirty, marshy area.
Okay. You wrote
it
a piece about
it. It is true
him.
that he owns Sitting Bull's Pipe.
Yes.
And
yes.
He buried a treasure somewhere? Is that the story?
And he buried treasure somewhere. Right. I'm talking to him on Monday morning, if people tune into this program on Monday morning, the second half of the program. We're talking to Forrest Fenn, and he wrote a memoir, and in this memoir, are scattered clues, and if you can put those clues together and understand what's going on, you can find the buried treasure. He buried this big chest full of gold coins.
Oh, I saw that movie with Spencer Tracy and Jonathan Winters. It's a mad world.
This is the real thing. This is the real thing. If you can find the treasure...
Yeah, but those guys started to go after each other in the movie.
Well, but you and I, Robert, don't have to do that. We can just find the treasure and split it. Okay. Because whoever finds the treasure chest gets it.
Right, right. Here's the deal. The local author, actually, he is signing copies on Monday of his book, The Thrill of the Chase, a memoir.
At now, 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore.
Yeah, I interviewed Forrest last week, and there's a story in today's Pasta Tiempo on page 14. I met Forrest Fenn, the first time I met Forrest Fenn was about 24, 25 years ago. At a dinner with a friend of mine and her father, who's a Western painter. His name was Clark Hewlings.
You were just a baby then. What are you talking about?
I was in high school. I was a rabble-rouser in high school. But this is the sort of the book is the story of sort of Fenn's come-upmanship, I guess, and how he sort of got that entrepreneurial spirit. And it's a very interesting book, and I think I might know where to start looking for the treasure. I'm not going to tell anybody.
All right, well then.
But what if, honestly, what if you got to the treasure and that alligator was waiting for you? Like in those old Sinbad movies, there's always some monster guarding the treasure.
But there's a difference between cinema and reality. And in cinema, it's usually just some place under a tree somewhere. And you get a metal detector and you try to dig it up, and that's pretty much it. And in the movies, there's an alligator.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
There's tons of art openings this weekend.
Yes, let's discuss them.
And not as many as, of course, as there are in the summer, but I'm going to pimp this place because I think it's a great place. Little Wing at the Candyman. It's more of a performance space and a music education space. But there's they also do art exhibits, and there's paintings there by Angie Pointer, and there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. That's over on St. Michael's Drive. You know where Candyman is. Everybody that lives in Santa Fe.
The Candyman, yes. It's in the Candyman Plaza. Yeah.
The Candyman.
Photo Eye Gallery is having an opening tonight. And I think that says the Cranach series.
That's right.
Exhibition and portfolio release of photographs by Carla van de Putelaar, I think. there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Gosh, the Axel Contemporary, the mobile gallery, is still on the move. They're having a reception at 4:30 tonight for their show Moving Stills, a group show of video stills at CCA, and they'll be there through October 24th. If you visit axelart.com, you can find out where the van is going to be, and you can follow them on Twitter, too.
And since we've been talking about movies, let's mention Brian Hamill over at Monroe Gallery of Photography.
Yeah.
Opening tonight. They're on Don Gaspar downtown. He worked, he's a great photographer, and he shot a lot of movies in the 70s and 80s. So movie set photos by him will be hanging at the Monroe Gallery, 5 to 7 tonight reception. Show runs through late November, and that's worth seeing.
And today at 6 o'clock, also at Collected Works Bookstore, Mark Wynn, or Winnie, W-I-N-N-E, will appear in conversation with City Councilor Rosemary Romero. And he's the author of the best-selling book, Closing the Food Gap. And he will present his new book, Food Rebels, Guerrilla Gardeners, and Smart Cooking Mamas, Fighting Back in an Age of Industrial Agriculture. And the discussion will be followed by a book signing.
What do you mean, guerrilla gardeners? Apes are out there making the harvest?
No, guerrilla as in warriors. Oh. You wouldn't know about that.
You see, my grandfather was a guerrilla fighter. That's because my grandmother was a guerrilla.
No, it's an interesting book. And I actually just read an article in Forbes magazine that predicted that by 2020... 20% of all the food consumed in the United States will be grown on the tops of office buildings and in old parking lots.
By 2020, that's 10 years from now.
Yep.
And this is in Forbes?
This was in Forbes.
That's 9 years and 3 months from now.
Yep.
I never see articles like that in Playboy.
Well, that means that we're in for some big, big changes very soon, which is hard to believe given the political climate of this country.
Well, given the economy of this country, I can see why people would want to start growing their own food,
well,
too.
Well, that's true. And then tomorrow at 4 o'clock, Kathleen Johnson will launch the fall 2010 edition of the New Mexico Poetry Review with readings by 15 local poets. And then on Monday, it's the launch of Santa Fe Collector, and, well, we talked about that, The Thrill of the Chase. For more information, 988-4226.
It's not too many more weekends for the flea markets, if you care. Pueblo of Tasuki's going on.
Yep.
Off 84-285 and the Santa Fe Flea at the Downs, which I have not yet been to. And I want to catch
good.
Before the end of the month.
What have you heard about that?
I've heard that it's fun and exciting and there's weird people out there.
You know, because that's what the flea market used to be when
in
I
Tasuki.
Moved here. In Tasuki.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before it went kind of more
I think everybody's
straight
out here
and
now.
Narrow.
Yeah.
So it was, people would dump out their garages.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in the back of a truck or a car. Put it on a tarp. Sell their stuff all day long and mm-hmm. go home. Yep. I got the best stuff ever at
you
that flea
fight,
market.
Yeah. All the African masks in our house came from the flea market. Or
right.
most of them. I'll say most of them came from those flea markets.
Right.
9 to 3 Saturday and Sunday down at the Downs, the old racetrack. Not straight from the horse's mouth, Robert.
Viva la Pepa kicks up traditional Spanish music in the History Museum Auditorium as part of the Threads of Memory lecture series.
Yeah.
And that will be today, 6 to 7:30. And it accompanies the exhibit, The Threads of Memory, Spain and the United States, which I went to the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting.
It is. It is interesting.
Considering it's a bunch of old maps and documents that you can't read, it's and a portrait of George Washington and things like that. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
And it stimulates the imagination when you look at how these maps... What's missing on those maps? How little is actually documented? You know, in some of them, the whole entire inland is a blank space.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, it's great. I'm interested to see how Viva la Pepa is going to work that concept into their repertoire. I interviewed Tomas Lozano, who is a singer and musician with the band, and he said basically he tried to explain what they were going to play. They're going to play a lot of medieval and Renaissance music of Spain, but they also might throw in some Sephardic stuff. They play it all, and these guys are great. If you love the hurdy-gurdy, and if you don't know what a hurdy-gurdy is, you should just go for
What's
that.
What's a hurdy-gurdy, Rob?
It's a play that was written like 20 years ago.
Hurdy-gurdy is an instrument that is very difficult to explain. I articulate it much better in my story. In today's Basso Tiempo.
All
but
right,
it's like
well,
you're self-referencing your own work again.
Strings and keys, and there's a wheel that's rosin.
A crank.
And it cranks, and that plays the strings, and then there's a keyboard next to the string. It's very...
It sounds like a better mousetrap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Empty Bed Blues by Stephen Lowe opened last night at the Santa Fe Playhouse. Did you mention that already?
No, but it's good. I'm glad you did. It's D.H. Lawrence and a lot of people sleeping with each other, and yet there's a lot of blues involved. And I don't know anything more about it.
There's
supposedly
well, there's always a lot of blues involved when there's a lot of people sleeping.
Well, there's Dan Garrity directs. He's a good guy. It's
he's a great guy. KSFR's own Dan Garrity.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
988-4262. They're at 142 DeVargas Street, the Playhouse. Head on over there. And speaking of theater, Theater Work has a show by Michael Healy called The Drawer Boy.
I saw that last night.
7:30.
I'm so glad you mentioned
James
it.
James A. Little. It's getting a very good review
it's
in today's
very,
Paso Tiempo.
Very good.
Excellent.
Which one?
You should go see it. The Drawer Boy.
The Drawer Boy.
It's there for two more days, Friday and three
Jonathan
more days.
Jonathan Dixon. All, it's a small cast, three actors. We talked with David Olson about it, but I hadn't actually seen it till last night. And all three actors are good, but Jonathan Dixon is particularly good. He's amazing in that play.
Great. Excellent. He's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're traveling out of town this week next weekend and you're not going to be around for Halloween and you don't know where you're going to be and you have kids, you should take them to the pre-Halloween trick-or-treating party at Santa Fe Community College on Thursday,
right.
October 28th.
Get a head start on the cavities.
From 3 to 6 p.m. Face painting, cupcake walk, trick-or-treating, the whole nine yards.
Wait a minute. What do you mean a cupcake walk? What is that?
It's like a cake walk, only in cups.
What's a cake walk? What are you talking about? Cakes can't walk. What is it?
It's a larger version of a cupcake walk.
Right.
Right.
It's the full size version.
It's the super size.
What are we talking about? Go ahead.
I don't know.
I'll ask about, since you're writing about the Kings of Pastry, I'm asking you what a cupcake walk is. I don't think that's impertinent.
Isn't that kind of one of those things where it's a sort of a fundraising deal where there are cupcakes and there are people and you walk?
Oh, it's like a bake sale?
Sort of.
But a walking bake sale, like you got to catch the pastries?
No, cake walk is a dance.
Well, but a cupcake walk, I believe, actually, it entails actual cupcakes.
Remember that YouTube video I sent you of the Three Stooges in Spanish?
Yeah.
And they were at a party dressed in tuxedos?
Yeah.
And what was on the table?
Cupcakes?
Pies, pastries. Why would you go to a high society party and have pastries and pies ready for the Three Stooges to throw?
Well, that's just foreshadowing, is what that is. That's just really subtle foreshadowing.
That there's going to be a pie fight at the end of the short?
Uh-huh.
What, how did it seem in Spanish?
It was boring, except all the slapstick.
Yeah. Mm.
The exchange of voices was boring.
The cakewalk is actually a dance, an American dance that harks back to the time of slavery in our country. And it was basically done at get-togethers on plantations in the South. And
by slaves?
By slaves. And then after the liberation, after the Civil War, it was performed in minstrel shows. Exclusively by men until the 1890s. It's just the Wikipedia entry, just saying.
That's interesting how it's evolved into this fundraiser.
With cupcakes.
Now, the Lenzic and KSFR and the Santa Fe Playhouse are also presenting a screening of D.H. Lawrence's Women in Love, so let's not forget that.
That's good. It's a lesbian drama.
It's at the Lenzic on November 4th, and it's actually a BBC series. This movie is, and so it's kind of long, but it's at 6:30 at the Lenzic. It's in two 90-minute chapters with a 15-minute intermission. You can call the Lenzic box office at 988-1234, and there's also a reception where you can meet William Ivory, the screenwriter, at 5 o'clock at the Chuck Jones Gallery, and for that, you can call 428-1379.
Were we supposed to mention Jennifer Monsoon over there at the SF Santa Fe Art Institute?
Yes, thank you. I'm going to try to get her on the air, too. Go ahead.
I don't know. I was asking you. I just remembered SFAI.
Well, you're looking that up. The Thermals are playing at Corazon on Wednesday the 27th. These guys are great. One of them used to play in a band here in town called Mistletoe. Really great indie rock. They're playing at, what time? Oh, it's an early show. It's an all-ages show at 7 p.m. There's a cover. You can get tickets online at CorazonSantaFe.com or by calling 505-886-1251. Tickets in advance are cheaper.
As they sometimes are.
Yeah. And this show's going to fill up fast. These guys are very popular.
Santa Fe Art Institute welcomes choreographer and environmentalist Jennifer Monson. She's going to be here on Thursday, the 28th of October at Tipton Hall at 6 o'clock. And it's part of the 2010 season Visiting Artists and Scholars series Elemental Earth, Air, Fire, and Water at the Santa Fe Art Institute. And she's been doing experimental dance for many years and apparently is absolutely fabulous. So you can call SFAI at, you can find them at sfai.org or call 424-5050.
Nice.
Sweet.
It's already 9 o'clock.
Halloween, Jewel Box Cabaret Halloween Show, burlesque, drag, and variety show, 9 p.m. Saturday at the Silver Starlight Lounge out there at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe. On Rodeo Road, there's this cover. If you call 428-7781, you'll learn more.
Excellent.
And I would like to say, I get so many emails, and it seems to be increasing. I don't know if it really is, but it seems to be increasing. And I get so many emails per day and per week that I cannot answer them all. I do my best. I am one person. So if anybody has written to me and is expecting a reply, I will get to it as soon as I possibly can. And please don't take it personally. I really do the best I can in trying to get listings on the air and trying to get interview requests filled and so on.
And honestly, I am slowly stepping off the show, so people should probably stop sending me emails regarding briefings on this and go to Rob DeWalt or Mary Charlotte.
What's your email address, Rob DeWalt?
Just send them to rdewalt@sfnewmexican.com.
R-D-E-W-A-L-T. rdewalt@sfnewmexican.com. Yep. Robert,
I'll come back next week alone with you and will you.
I won't be here. It's my birthday next Friday.
Happy birthday. Thank Rob DeWalt and Robert Knott are with the Santa Fe New Mexican. Is Babapalooza, speaking of the arts. Positivo is a Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. It's a great publication with great articles and lots of things worth reading. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
We know that.
We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services.
Let's kiss her.
You can subscribe. They're across the table. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. I always say that. I wonder if anybody actually uses that. I think they do. I get lots of friend requests. You can friend me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyway, Facebook is fun. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team with the wonderful Dan Garrity and Bill Dupuis. And after that, jazz a la carta.
Bueno. I'll see you next week for our famous Halloween show.
Yeah, our famous Halloween show. And wonderful to have you guys on the air. And have a great, happy weekend as the weather starts to turn cold.
I love it.
I went up to the Aspens a couple of times last week and the weekend before. It's nice up there.
Really?
Yeah, they might have gotten all rained off.
Yeah, those trees are probably getting naked.
They're getting a little barer than they were before, but the dogs love it.
Yeah.
Put on extra coats before you go up there because it's a lot warmer down here than there.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista, hombres.
Hasta la vista.
Say it. Oh, boy.
Ciao.